unicorn horse, and it's supposed to be of this magical creature or whatever. It's mythology. I don't know where it came from, or if it really existed, and maybe just I think if it really did exist, it probably came about when Noah was gathering the animals up, and Mr. Unicorn said, "Honey, we've got to go. We got to go. We're going to be late." And Miss Unicorn was primping in front of the mirror, and finally he said, "Look, I'm just going without you. I've got to get there." And he got to the boat, and Miss Unicorn was spending so much time in front of the mirror, she missed the boat. Not a whole lot of good a single male unicorn can do as far as replenishing the earth. That may have been how that happened. I'm not sure. You know, we don't have a record of that. It's all speculation. Genesis chapter 7, verses 1 through 5 say this. The Lord said to Noah, "Go into the ark, you and your whole family, because I have found you righteous in this generation. Take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal, a male and its mate, and 1 pair of every kind of unclean animal, male and its mate, and also 7 pairs of every kind of bird, male and female, to keep their various kinds alive throughout the earth. 7 days from now, I will send rain upon the earth for 40 days and 40 nights, and I will wipe from the face of the earth every living creature I have made." And Noah did all that the Lord had commanded him. How many of you have always heard and believed that there were 2 kinds of every animal on the ark, or a pair? They came in twos, right? The word here, if you read back in Genesis chapter 6, it says that, and then these are the more detailed instructions, and it says here that God told Noah to take with you 7 pairs of every kind of clean animal and 1 pair of every unclean animal. So what's the difference between clean and unclean? Clean versus unclean. And some of the unclean animals were listed in Leviticus. I'm just going to read the account of what they were talking about here. Leviticus chapter 1 verses... it's a bunch of them. Starting in verse 1. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron, "Say to the Israelites, of all the animals that live on the land, these are the ones you may eat. You may eat from every animal that has a divided foot or hoof, and choose the cud." Okay? Cow. It's a clean animal. "There are some that only chew the cud or that only have a divided hoof, but you must not eat them. The camel, although it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It's ceremonially unclean for you. The hyrax, though it chews the cud, does not have a divided hoof. It's unclean. The rabbit, although it chews its cud, does not have a divided hoof, and it's unclean for you. And the pig, though it has a divided hoof, does not chew the cud. It is unclean for you. You must not eat their meat or touch their carcasses, for they are unclean for you. Of all the creatures living in the water, the seas, or the streams, you may eat any that have fins and scales. But all creatures of the sea, stream, or streams that do not have fins and scales, whether among the swarming things or among the other living creatures in the water, you are to regard as unclean. And since you are to regard them as unclean, you must not eat their meat. You must regard their carcasses as unclean. Anything living in the water that does not have fins and scales is to be regarded as unclean by you. A catfish is ceremonially unclean. Okay? Because it has fins, but it does not have scales. It's a smooth-skinned fish. Also bacon. Bacon-wrapped catfish nuggets would not be a good thing. Okay? All right. "These are the birds you're to regard as unclean and not to eat because they are unclean. The eagle, the vulture, the black vulture, the red kite, or any kind of black kite, any kind of raven, the horned owl, the screech owl, the gull of any kind of hawk, the little owl, the cormorant, the great owl, the white owl, the desert owl, the osprey, the stork, and any kind of heron, the hoopoe, and the bat. All the flying insects that walk on all fours are to be regarded as unclean by you. There are, however, some flying insects that walk on all fours that you may eat, those that have jointed legs for hopping on around the ground. Of those, you may eat any kind of locust, katydid, cricket, or grasshopper. But all other flying insects that have 4 legs are regarded as unclean." Now, there's more. It goes on and on. But I want to give you just a snapshot of... He listed several clean animals and unclean animals, all right? But God extended the call for salvation to the clean and the unclean. All right? Animals coming to the ark. Clean animals, unclean animals. Guess what? Come on in. Come in. Come in. Salvation is for you too. Come on in. Come on in. And that's a good thing. Some of every kind was offered salvation. The invitation went out to the clean and the unclean. And that right there, folks, that message right there will preach. The message, the call to salvation goes out to the clean and the unclean. Now today, you know, we don't have a list, or maybe we have a list in our mind of what clean and unclean people are, right? Okay? Well, guess what? Salvation is for the clean and the unclean. Whatever that list you may have, the description you have in your mind of what an unclean person is, salvation is also for them. The ark was not made up of the elite animals on the earth. The best of the best. The clean only. I mean, it was, folks, the ark was a dirty place. Okay? You gather up a bunch of animals for that period of time. It was more than 40 days and 40 nights. That's just how long it rained. And it took a long time for the waters to recede. And after they receded, they still couldn't get out because it was like mush. They had to wait, and it took a long time. So they were on this ark for a long time. Barnyard, long time, okay? Stinky. It was not a clean place on the ark. It was for everybody. For everybody, the clean and the unclean. The church is not just for the elite. The church is for the clean, the unclean. God says, come, come, come. It may not always look pretty, oh, but the salvation is there. There's salvation. There's salvation. Folks, we've got to be that church. We've got to be that church. The ark contained a little bit of everything. The church should reflect that. We're not an elite group. Salvation is offered to all. Two things I want to make note of today. Don't be a unicorn and miss the boat. Okay? That's my point number one. Don't be a unicorn and miss the boat. The call, it goes out. The call went out. But folks, it's our responsibility to respond to that call. The ark is waiting with the door open. And God says, come, salvation is here for you. And we have a choice. Do we go get on the boat or do we stay off? Okay? Some of us may be primping in front of the mirror a little too long. Some of us, I'm not guilty of that. My hair does not take very long to fix. But some of us may have other things. Oh, when it starts raining, then I'll go get in the boat. It's all fine and good until you get to the boat and find the door's been shut. Folks, there's no greater disappointment. There's no greater tragedy than getting to the ark and finding out you've missed the boat. The second thing I want to point out to us is that some of the clean were meant for the benefit of the unclean. Why did God tell Noah to take a pair of every unclean animal and seven pairs, that's 14 animals, of every clean kind of animal? Why did he have so many of the clean animals there? They had to eat something, right? Had to eat something. Now, here's the deal. You got this lion, which is an unclean animal. It has paws, okay? According to Leviticus, it's unclean. It's not supposed to eat lion. What do you feed the lion? They don't get full on broccoli, okay? They eat other, I mean, they're carnivorous. They eat meat. Amen. Hallelujah. They eat meat. They can't feed the pig to the lion. Guess why? There's only a pair of pigs on the ark. If they feed a pig to the lion, the pig can't reproduce, and then we don't have bacon. Talk about tragedy. Amen? All right. So they had to feed something to the lion. Sheep. Or one of the other clean animals. Because they had more of those. That's why God... Now, not just the animals. Noah and his family had to eat something too, right? Not only that, but God knew that at the end of the journey, he was going to want a sacrifice. So God made provisions for all that. He made provisions for all that. Let me catch up and find where I got to preaching and quit looking at my notes here. All right. I'm not saying that as sheep we're supposed to be thrown to the lions today. As Christians, as we're not supposed to just be thrown for to be devoured by the lions, by the what we call deem unclean. Okay? But I am saying that we're there to help provide for their nourishment. We're there to help provide to strengthen them up. Right? Strengthening looks like training, looks like teaching. Looks like support, looks like encouragement. We're to help provide for their nourishment. And yes, even correction when needed. It's part of growing. I think probably we're here for other people more than we're here for ourselves. Just ask the sheep on the ark. 7 pairs of sheep went on the ark, right? Only 2, a male and a female, were destined to walk on earth again. What happened to the rest of them? Well, they were there to feed. They were there to feed the unclean. They were there for sacrifice. They were there to be used by God to accomplish the purpose. Folks, sometimes that's our role. Sometimes we're the sheep that is to be sacrificed. Sometimes we're there to maybe not physically, but to spiritually nourish somebody else, and it may be an unclean person. Okay, I'm not going to get into what defines clean and unclean people, because the truth of the matter is, folks, we're all unclean. The only thing that makes us clean is the blood of Jesus Christ. And His blood does a perfect job of that, making us clean. Okay, and here's the deal. Doesn't matter how dirty you are, or how dirty you were, the blood of Jesus Christ is completely and fully effective. It's better than 99.44% pure clean. It is absolutely 100% pure clean. It doesn't matter how dirty you were, the blood of Jesus makes you clean. So if you're a follower of Christ, you are a clean person. Doesn't matter what the outside looks like. Doesn't matter if we categorize people into different categories and say, well, these are the undesirables, these are the less desirables, these are the sometimes desirables. These are the people we really want. It doesn't matter. If they have the blood of Jesus Christ on them, they are acceptable to God, should they not be acceptable to us. In Acts chapter 10, Peter had to get taught this lesson himself. Okay, Peter. We're talking about Peter, the sword-swinging, fish-catching, walking-on-water Peter. Okay? The denier Peter. Also, same guy, same dude. God had to teach him a lesson. In Acts chapter 10, we read this in verse 9. About noon the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the roof to pray. Holy Peter. Goes up on the roof to pray. Bless his heart. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, he fell into a trance. He saw heaven opened, and something like a large sheet being let down to earth by its 4 corners. It contained all kinds of 4-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat." This is my brother-in-law's favorite passage in the Bible. Arise, kill and eat. He's a hunter and a fisherman, okay? Arise, kill and eat. Well, Peter, he says, "Surely not, Lord." What was in this sheep and this sheet that was coming down? All kinds of 4-footed animals and reptiles. Reptiles were included in that list in Leviticus as what? Unclean. A lot of the 4-footed animals. Okay, if they have pads, if they don't have a split foot and chew their cud, they're unclean. So there were some of these animals in there too. And God said, "Arise, kill and eat." And Peter says, "Surely not, Lord. I have never eaten any impure or unclean thing." The voice spoke to him a second time. "Do not call anything unclean that God has made clean. Oh, we need that lesson today. Don't you call unclean something I've made clean, God says. This happened three times. And immediately, something to do with threes for Peter, isn't it? It happened three times, and immediately the sheet was taken back to heaven. While Peter was wondering about the meaning of the vision, the man sent by Cornelius was found out where Simon's house was and stopped there at the gate. They called out asking if Simon, who was known as Peter, was staying there. While Peter was still thinking about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Simon, three men are looking for you. Get up and go downstairs. Do not hesitate to go with them, for I have sent them." Peter went down and said to the men, "I'm the one you're looking for. Why have you come?" The men replied, "We have come from Cornelius, the centurion." Now, what is a centurion? A Roman soldier, okay, in charge of 100 men. A century is 100 years. Centurion, he's in charge of 100 men. And he's a boss in the Roman army. Roman army soldiers are not Jewish. Okay? As far as the Jews were concerned, there were not just unclean and clean animals, there were clean and unclean people, because if you weren't Jew, you were called a Gentile. The Gentiles were deemed ceremonially unclean. So God prepped Peter by saying, "Look, don't you call something unclean that I've made clean. Now I'm sending somebody to you. Just go with it." They show up. Peter, I'm gonna fill in the blanks here for you. Peter, a ceremonial unclean Gentile Roman soldier named Cornelius wants you to come and share with him. Now, Peter, already been taught by God to don't call something unclean that God's made clean, says, "All right." And he says here, they said, he's a righteous, God-fearing man who is respected by all the Jewish people. A holy angel told him to ask that you should come to this house so that he could hear what you have to say. So then Peter invited the men into the house to be his guest. The rest of the story is Peter went to Cornelius' house. The Roman centurion, the unclean dude, went to his house, sat down with him, preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and Cornelius said, I believe. Can I be baptized today?" And he was. Peter. Peter wasn't just talking about clean and unclean food, because he had in his mind, if you're not Jew, you're not clean. God reminded Peter, "Don't you call unclean what I've made clean." Now it's easy for us to look at people today and make that same distinction. But God is reminding us today that He also died for them. It's up to us to make sure that they know that fact, that they have an opportunity to get on the boat. To get on the boat. To become one of the children of God. To receive salvation that only Jesus Christ can offer. 2 Peter again. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 9 says this: "The Lord is not slow in keeping His promise, as some understand slowness. Instead, He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance." He doesn't say, "I really desire the clean to come to salvation. I really want the clean people with me." God says, "I want everybody. I want them all. I want them all." We must be the ones to make sure that everyone hears that call. We've got to make sure that everyone hears that call. But we must also be willing to be used to nurture, to feed those who we might call unclean, understanding that Jesus Christ gave His life for them just as He did for you. You see, the Lord does the saving. The Lord closes the door on the ark. He's the one that provides the plans for the ark. He's the one that had the ark built to His specifications. He's the one that provides the salvation. Our responsibility is to get on the boat. And our other responsibility is to make sure that everybody else understands that an end is coming and there is only one way to escape that the wrath of God. Thank you. The Lord saves, but He uses you and me to feed others. He uses you and me to tell to pass the word about the salvation. And folks, how many of you just get real excited about being used by God? Come on, I know there's some people in here. Yeah, I want to be used by God. Okay, how many of you like to be used by people? Not so much. Okay, but folks, is there a difference? Well, there is a difference. But God uses you, and sometimes that means being used by people to nourish them and to feed them. Okay, and we've got to just kind of set stuff aside sometimes. And a lot of time, that's our pride that gets in the way. Our biggest thing is the pride. Okay, standing in front of the mirror, primping a little too long. Miss Unicorn, she missed the boat. Pride. Sometimes we say, "Oh, I'm just tired of being used by people." Okay? There's a difference between being used up by people, okay, and being used by people for God's glory. There's a difference. Are we willing to be used by God, even when it doesn't look like what we want? Understanding and knowing that God's going to get the glory. And somebody may respond to the only way out of this world unscathed is through Jesus Christ. Somebody may understand that for the very first time. Somebody may really get that because we've allowed God to use us how He sees fit. Maybe it's being thrown to the lions, folks. Not all the sheep made it off alive, but they were used for God's purpose. Okay? Are we willing to be used? We all want to get on the boat. But do we really understand what that means? It's not a happy party. It's not just a party on the boat. Folks, once we're on the boat, sometimes there's still work involved. There's still things involved. And sometimes it's not always fun. But it can be life-changing. It can be life-changing. That looks like all different kinds of things. That means being available to go and to physically minister. That means being willing to maybe even suffer some hardship because you stood up for somebody and you became their friend and everybody else deemed them as unclean. Maybe there are 150 different things that looks like, and probably 10 times more than that. I don't know what that means in your life. But for the first question we have to ask is, yes, I want the salvation. Now, am I ready to be used by God? Maybe that's going on a mission trip. Maybe that's working VBS, you know, with the sign-up sheet we just talked about. Maybe that's the other things that aren't mentioned. Maybe that's coming up and mowing the grass when somebody else can't get it done. Maybe that's going and making a private visit to a hospital room. Maybe that's calling somebody up. Maybe that's just inviting somebody. There's a lot of things that are involved there, folks. Are we willing to be used by God? It's more than just a free ride. It's more than just a free ride. Ask 12 of those sheep. All right? Not sure where you are today. Maybe everyone here is just on the ark and maybe everybody here is received salvation. And maybe everybody in this room is come to the point where they say, you know what, it's not about me anymore. I understand that I've received my salvation and that was God's plan for me. Now He wants to use me for the salvation of other people. And I'm all in and you're just ready to be used by God. Praise God for that. But maybe there's somebody here today that's been holding back. Maybe there's somebody here today that's been struggling with turning loose of some things, making some time available, making some resources available for somebody else. Even for especially for the unclean. Folks, we've got to redefine unclean and clean. And it's not up to us to define it. We need to look at what Scripture says. And God says, don't you call something unclean if I've made it clean. And the blood of Jesus does a fantastic job. Father in heaven, Lord, we're here today and we just We thank you for the Word of God, Lord, and how it teaches us, and how it stretches us and grows us. And Lord, I pray that every person in this room has answered the call of salvation. Oh, but Lord, if there's not, I pray that today would be the day when they would understand there is only one way out of this world. Alive. There's another way out that is eternal death. But Father, we thank you that you made that way for us. But you made it very simple for us. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody in this room today that has not received Jesus Christ as their Lord and as their Savior, put you first in their life and submitted their life to you to be used by you, that today would be their day of transformation. But Lord, I also pray that for those of us in this room that may just be satisfied with getting on the ark, with receiving the salvation, the hope of eternal life, I pray, Lord, that if there's anybody in this room that's received that and is satisfied with that, oh, Father, that you would teach us and show us that there's more. There's more involved. And you're not through with us yet. You have a plan for us. And you want to use us because there are other people who are not on the boat yet. Lord, may it no longer be about us. May it now be about other people, about feeding, about being used by you for your glory. And Lord, I pray that if there's somebody in this room today that fits that bill, that you would change their heart. They would come to you and say, here am I, Lord, send me. Whatever it is, whatever you call for, I'm ready and I'm willing. And I trust, Lord, that even if I don't feel like I'm equipped, Lord, you don't call me because I'm equipped. You just want me to say yes, and you'll equip me. And Father, we thank you that you're so faithful to do that. May we step out in faith and watch you really, really go to work. Father, we thank you that it's only possible because of your Son, Jesus Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen. Like I said, I'm not sure where you are today. I would love to think that everybody in this room is a child of God. Everyone in here is claims Jesus Christ as their Lord and lives a life that shows that. Okay? The truth is, maybe I just don't know everybody well enough. I don't know. I would love to think that. But only you and only God know the truth. Let's get real with God today. Just like I asked you at the beginning of the service, don't just let the words be the words on the screen. Let's try to internalize that and make that really be our prayer. Don't just let your life be words on the screen either. Let it be true and genuine. Lived out in front of men for other men and women. For all of mankind. Allow God to use us. If you have felt the Spirit leading you or calling you or tugging you in any of that, let me just encourage you to respond. What does that look like? I don't know. Looks like a lot of things. Maybe you need to come and you would love, Rebecca and I would love to pray with you. Maybe you want to come and kneel at the altar and get right with God and say, God, let me just pour my heart out to you for a minute here. God's ready to hear you. Maybe it's going to somebody else in the room. I don't know. There's no rules here. It's just a time for you to say, yes, I heard the Spirit and I'm going to do something about that. It's up to you to respond. It's up to you to do whatever that something is. And I would encourage you to do it. As we stand and as we sing, this is your time.